The Volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Basketball, football, they have awesome new and existing user promotions. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You can get your winnings back in 2 hours. My favorite, the same game parlays. You can bet $5 or $10 and win $150 or more. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get started now. Sign up promo code Colin so they know we and I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. Anytime things seem sudden and strange, there is usually a coup involved. Bruce Arians, who never showed any interest in the front office, although he had hinted at retirement, suddenly retires so quickly that the Buccaneers had to rush the staff and rush the players together to tell them, meaning it wasn't really planned, meaning Brady wanted him out. Listen, Tom retires, then unretires. Arians, I'm good here. Then suddenly I'm moving upstairs. Todd Bowles is in. It all is very strange and sudden. Come on now. I think most of you understand how the game works. This was never culturally New England to Tampa was always a weird fit. One is academic, cold weather, Boston, politics, sports, a power broker's town. One, Tampa, Ybor City, cocktails early, a goofy franchise. One, obsessed quarterback. One, dysfunctional franchise. Tom went there for more control and better weapons. He got the weapons. He got the Super Bowl. But what Tom never truly got, even in his Super Bowl winning season, was control. And that Arians is a seat of the pants, go with your gut coach. When Arians, and I like Bruce, but when he went to CBS to broadcast, the feeling was, he wasn't overly prepared. He was funny. People liked him. He is a seat of the pants guy, and Brady's not. This was always a weird cultural fit. It was always a weird fit. Old school Bruce, adapting, evolving, obsessed Tom. And it worked the first year. Folks, we saw this multiple times. I mean, Arians called out Brady. Tom took one for the team. You think Tom liked that? Legends don't like to be called out. They can laugh. They can fall on the sword at the podium. They don't like that. So this has always been a very, very turbulent relationship. And of course it is. Of course it is. You know, I always think Bruce Arians was a perfect fit with Big Ben. Big Ben was not obsessed. Big Ben was a gunslinger. Big Ben is an over-the-top backyard football quarterback. Arians and Big Ben, to me, like, that's a perfect relationship. You know what I think Tom's perfect relationship is? Kyle Shanahan. Obsessed, maniacal, considered the great scheming coach. Remember, as good as McVay is, McVay will acknowledge privately Shanahan's the better scheme guy. Sean is the better culture builder, better in front of the room. And he has built that with the Rams. So, you know, fit matters. This is why Aaron Rodgers, for all his talent, has won Super Bowl. He doesn't always get along with players. He has struggled with coaches. He has struggled with executives. Aaron Rodgers should have multiple Super Bowls. If you looked at his talent and Tom, you'd say he's got 7 Super Bowls. The other guy has 1. Tom usually is a better fit, easier to get along with. Aaron's difficult. And so, you know, fit has always been undervalued in sports. Chemistry has always been undervalued. We talk about this often that, you know, if it was just about movie stars make movies, then why wouldn't Paramount or Sony or Disney just go hire 5 movie stars, make movies, and everybody files into the theater? Doesn't work that way. It's plot. Its director works very well with casting director and producer and stars and complimentary pieces. So, you know, Brady and Arians was destined to have a great deal of tumult. It was destined to be turbulent. They got a Super Bowl out of it, but all these things happening so strangely and so suddenly, they tell you. Tom wanted two things in Tampa. He wanted better weapons and more control. And he got one and he didn't get the other. Now, Todd Bowles as the coach. I'm going to talk about that in a couple of minutes with Mike Silver. Todd is the kind of coach that will let Brady take the offense. That's very much his personality. Todd's a great defensive coach. He's not power hungry. He is not a formulaic coach where this is the way I do it, my way or the highway. It's not really Todd Bowles' personality. He'll let Tom run the offense. He'll run the defense. Bowles, when he was with the Jets, he wasn't much at the podium. He's not much of a personality. He is not a self-promoter. He's just a really driven, humble, grateful, gracious guy who coaches the hell out of defense. Is he a great coach? He's a great coordinator. But I think he and Brady will align better than Bruce and Brady. And, I mean, Tom is obsessed. I still contend that, and we've had multiple reports to confirm this, including Tom Brady's dad. What did Tom Brady's dad say 2-3 weeks ago? Tom didn't want to retire. There were external forces. Was one of the external forces the power grab? I mean, Tom Brady's dad said there were other things going on. He didn't name names. So, Tom Brady's dad has to a fault, not for me, but for Tom, to a fault been honest. He came out. Tom doesn't want to retire. So this is, it may be sudden and strange, but it's fairly predictable. And, I mean, Brady is too detailed and too planned to suddenly retire and unretire. That is the most un-Brady move ever. That's just not what he does. I mean, Aaron Rodgers and drama, yeah, that's kind of predictable. Brady not having everything thought out, that's so off brand. So listen, I think Bowles and Brady will be a better fit. Tom runs the offense, will have say in personnel when he can, absolute control of the game plans, which you watch Tom versus Time. He wanted more control of the game plans. That's well documented. Now he's going to have it. So, a lot of times you go for a job and there's two or three things that you want and you get one or two of them early and then you have success. And then you get that one you didn't get the first year in your second or third year. And so once Brady won the Super Bowl, the owners probably went, all right, Let's weigh the options here. Greatest football quarterback ever. Good coach, good guy. We still owe him money on the salary. We'll just move him upstairs. But that's what this is. Now, you're probably going to have agents and you're going to have people come out and say, oh, this is really their best of friends. Oh, stop. We're not idiots here. Sports fans, you follow it. I follow it. This is incredibly easy to spot what happened here. It's not like Bruce and Tom can't walk down the hallway. Arians is still getting his money. They're still going to be in the same building. They're adults. They'll get along fine. This is better for the franchise. It's better for Tom. Bruce Arians has had a heck of an NFL career. Now he's just going to have a different office, probably on the second floor. Let's bring in Mike Silver. Longtime NFL writer, Mike Silver. Holy shnikes. So listen, Mike, this is not a difficult one to read the tea leaves. Like, these personalities were always different. I said when Tom went to Tampa, the cultures are different. One, Boston. Sports, politics, obsessed, prep schools, intense, academic, lousy weather, workaholics, the great history. The other, Ybor City, baby, cocktails early. So I always thought, and I said this, I said, Tom will, it's the football's not the problem. It's the cultural gap that he's going to have to get used to. Like, he's going to have to train this team to be obsessed. Remember the helicopter pictures at the high school? I'm like, okay, he's getting there. But this feels like, and probably the term sounds too intense, a little bit of a power grab. Older coach, obsessed quarterback. Tom went to Tampa for two things, weapons and control. He got one right out of the chute. He didn't get the other, and he wanted it. Is that fair?
Well, listen. First of all, let's assess. Let's step back. They had two pretty good years together, right?
They won
a Super Bowl, went to Lambeau, albeit fanless Lambeau, but won in the cold at Lambeau and then killed the Chiefs. And then this year, one of my favorite Brady games ever, if not my favorite, and I wrote about this when he retired for a while. But, you know, he's down 27-3, and we all know about 28-3 and all the crazy things that had to happen there. But this was, to me, equally epic. And, yeah, there was a coverage breakdown at the end, and Cooper Kupp made a play, and the Rams did win that game. But, you know, what he did in that last game was incredibly hard, and maybe if they get that to overtime and win, you know, who knows what would happen. So two great years. And look, I don't want people to oversimplify and go, man, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. I mean, was it a perfect match? Of course not. But way better match than Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, personality-wise. And that one lasted, what, 20 years? And obviously, they did incredible things together. So I think if you gave Tom Brady truth serum and said, would you rather play another year with Bill Belichick or Bruce Arians, he would laugh and be like, please, BA, it's great. But I don't think it's I think more just, you know, the control thing I don't think was an issue in terms of the offense. I think based on what Bruce Arians told me that first year, he told Tom, let's run what you want. Let's put your stuff in. And he kind of stepped back a lot, and they ran Brady's offense for better or worse, and obviously for better in terms of the results. I just wonder, you know, if I think that, you know, you could look to the Antonio Brown thing, for example, right? Bruce Arians had it with Antonio Brown in that moment. And maybe a younger coach who is less my way or the highway would have massaged that. I actually don't know. I'm kind of on BA's side on that one. But, you know, maybe things like that, Tom Brady would think, hey, we could be a little less reactionary here. You know, BA grabbed his own guy. You know, so there's some old school moments, but I honestly think it's an oversimplification to just go, well, Tom needed to get rid of Bruce Arians. That's a terrible match.
Continue betting the bracket with a bang. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook's giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right. You'll get $150 in bonus site credit. All you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket, up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, so much more. I like Duke and Coach K, a fairy tale ending to cash. Plus, with cash out, the ball's in your court. You can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. So join FanDuel today, promo code Colin, always Colin. You can place your $5 bet and score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Promo code Colin, FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. I'm a simple guy. I do think when you, having moved four or five times in my career, I never get everything I want initially. I tend to get it later based on success of the show. And I think Tom got a lot of what he wanted early. But I do think they're two different personalities. One is obsessed. One's loosey-goosey. He's a little more, you know, it's like certain presidents. I remember when Obama was president, they're like, he was a readaholic. George Bush was seat of the pants. And that's their style. And I'm not here to judge. But Bruce, even when Bruce took the CBS job, I know people in television, he's kind of a let it rip guy. Whereas, you know, other guys, Collinsworth is more of a study film all week and come in. And that's okay. But I do think it can cause sometimes, if not rifts, if not resentment, it's different. Tom kind of wants you to care as much as him. Bruce cares. But his dad, Tom's dad, has often, in Tom's view, inappropriately said things. And Tom's like, Dad, stop talking. He came out 3 weeks ago and said, yeah, he didn't want to retire. There's, you know, there's other factors here. Well, is maybe this one of the factors? I mean, Bruce Arians never wanted to work in the front office, did he? That's not Bruce.
I mean, he tried TV. I don't think he loved it. you know, I know for a fact he didn't love it. They, you know, his crew, his group loved him. That, you know, they had great, you know, nights before the game, and you know, that was a blast. But you know, let's step back for a second and just look at it organizationally. So, if you believe that the Bucks forced him out, which I don't, but if you do believe that, if you're like, hey, man, Tom Brady was going to walk away and they chose him over Bruce Arians, okay, let's compare that to Seattle. And in Tampa, you have a quarterback who is the most accomplished ever, but he's 1,000 years old. He's 45. No one has ever done this at this level. It could all drop off tomorrow.
Right.
Once you start talking about retirement, it's in your head. Physically, it could go wrong immediately. You know, Peyton was a steep cliff, you know, let alone the injury, you know, a lot of things could end. So it wouldn't be a smart organizational choice if you love Bruce Arians to say, I'll do anything for the 45-year-old quarterback, albeit the most accomplished of all time. Now, let's compare that to Seattle, where Jody Allen, who we never hear from her because she's a zillionaire and apparently doesn't think the fans deserve to ever hear from the acting owner or, you know, head of the estate or whatever you want to call her, which I think is gutless. But be that as it may, Jody Allen essentially said, OK, I've got a 33-year-old quarterback who wants to play till he's 45 or 50, Russell Wilson, who doesn't think it's going great with my 70-year-old coach, albeit a very accomplished one. You know what? I'm choosing the 70-year-old coach over the 33-year-old quarterback. So if Jody Allen would actually give an interview, I would ask her, yo, like, is that really what you did? You really, you know, respectfully, because I love Pete, but you chose a quarterback with lots of time left who you can't really replicate. You chose to get rid of him and keep a coach who probably won't coach that much longer. Conversely, I don't think the Bucks actually did this, but if the Bucks did choose between Brady and Arians, they chose a quarterback who's maybe going to be done in 10 seconds over an older coach.
Well, I don't think, you know, I think Tom has always been privately intense, but I don't think he's a line in the sand guy.
Right.
My takeaway is Tom got very frustrated multiple times in the last 6 or 7 weeks. He dropped these hints. You know, you really got to focus here. We're not focused. And I think what happens is it's almost like, Mike, if you date somebody. So let's just say Tom, Bruce, they date. First year, ooh, it's intense. It's intense. Wow, we got a relationship. But they're different people. And then by year two, the little cute, annoying problems are now just annoying and not cute. And now the Rams beat you. And you think, in our place, and it wasn't that they lost to the Rams. Twice, they didn't look prepared. Went to LA, not competitive. First half at home, not competitive.
By the way, Jared Goff and the Rams rolled them 2 years ago, for what it's worth, on
okay.
national TV.
So, yeah, three times, young boy genius, old seat of the pants guy. And I think the way they lost at home is, come on, man, we're not ready to play. That was Tom's complaint about week 13 on. We're not committed. We're not focused. I think we would both acknowledge Arians and Brady are different dudes. Okay, whatever. But I do think stuff that you in life with success think is annoying but cute, that stuff wears on you when you lose.
I could accept all of this if he hadn't put up with something I know that bothered him more for 20 years. And maybe all 20 years weren't constant bother, but the last 5 years of Brady and Belichick were a lot, from the Malcolm Butler sudden benching and the be free, you know, posts. And I mean, it's I know how unaligned they were. And I know how bothersome Belichick could be, and people rightfully put up with a lot of it because he's unbelievable and his teams are prepared. And I see what you're saying. That's a line in the sand. I just want to one little note. Perceived lack of preparedness of games, late season games in Florida, certainly tilted the NFL landscape if you count the Colts-Jaguars game. And Carson Wentz and Jim Irsay's reaction to that.
Well, let's go back to this. In New England, Tom was bothered, but he couldn't get out.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot of things I'm bothered with, but if I have a 5-year contract, there's nothing I can do. Tom right. in Tampa now can get out.
Right.
And did. I'm out. Then right. he circles back, almost a warning shot to Tampa. Guys, I'll hang it up, and you don't have a quarterback.
Right.
You don't have anything. And then right. I don't think it's ugly. I think Jason and Tom talk privately multiple times. Tom's like, listen, we won. I want to come back, but I want what I want. And I don't think it was ugly. I don't think they're going to pass each other in the hall. But I always have this kind of feeling, if shit looks weird, it is weird. Okay, Tom is the most detailed player in our lives.
Right.
Suddenly retires and unretires. It's like, what? That is the least planned thing ever. And then Arians.
He might be second to Peyton in most detail.
Okay.
I got to give Peyton.
But that move was way off brand. Something wasn't right here. We can acknowledge that.
Well, I agree with you that when stuff looks weird, it usually is. I do know from having been around this game for so long that there are very human emotions at play, and sometimes things surprise us, like Aaron Donald talking to Rodney Harrison about maybe stepping away the day before the Super Bowl, or Andrew Luck actually stepping away, or right. Ali Marpet, you know, Brady's teammate really did step away. So it's a very physically grind of a game. It's a physical grind of a game. It's an emotional grind. And I just know even journalistically, like, there wasn't a season that has ended where it's so intense where there's not a thought like, can I do this anymore? You know, like, everyone thinks about it. Everyone needs to get away and take a break. And so I do think, especially someone of Brady's age and a quarterback, I remember Kurt Warner telling me when he stepped away, he said, it wasn't that I didn't think I could physically do it. It wasn't that I don't think I'm good enough to be at that level. It's that the way things are set up here, Arizona, by the way, later Bruce Arians came in, but the way things are set up here, I have such a level of responsibility as the franchise quarterback on and off the field to make it work every single week, every single game, that's too much for me to do again. And I'm paraphrasing, but yeah. It was the specter of being that guy and in his view, holding that organization together. And so that's similar to what Brady does all the time, right?
Yes.
He's he's in control of all of it. And so I do think it's possible that there are human emotions where Tom Brady was like, man, I just don't know. And then he changed his mind. And then Bruce Arians, possibly, who is an intuitive guy and probably understands a lot of that dynamic, said, you know what, man, we won a Super Bowl. We had a second year where we made a run. I'm older. I do care about not only succession plans, but the minority coaching issue. And that's something that is really important to him. And
yeah,
maybe it's going to be best organizationally if I could just hand it to Todd and let Tom go out with him. And I do think those things are possible too.
You know, Todd was interesting in New York because he's not a self-promoter. And I don't know if he's a great head coach. He is a great coordinator. And like Brady, highly aggressive. Like, he's aggressive. Like, he wants an attacking defense, and Brady is his brand. Everything's aggressive. So that's one thing with Arians and Brady that always felt right. Like, Bruce is an attacker. Yes. Brady's an attacker. Bowles is an attacker. So, you know, it's one of these things where Dungy didn't have a big self-promoting persona. He wasn't a control freak. Dungy's not a control freak. He let Peyton have the offense. My first thought was, this is going to be a Dungy Peyton Manning, is that Todd doesn't care about control. Todd wants to win games. Is that he and Brady, even though I like offensive coaches in 2022 over defensive coaches, it's got a Dungy Peyton feel to it, where I'll take this side. I respect you. We'll meet on Wednesday to discuss the game plan. But I think it could work because Todd is just into what Todd's into. Takeaway.
Well, first of all, I'm excited for Todd because let's juxtapose his two opportunities. And I covered him as a player. He's a very smart guy, great temperament. But opportunity one, hey, you're coming to New York. Your quarterback just got punched in the nose and is out. Geno Smith, literally in Todd's first year, got punched in the nose by a teammate and was out. So that's what you're walking into there. We certainly know there were other things going on organizationally. And, you know, they actually did really well that first year with Ryan Fitzpatrick and probably gave some false hope and probably tried to prop it up a little bit. But wow, you walk into, it's New York, your quarterback got punched in the nose, and now you have to figure it out. And now you're walking into, Tom Brady's gonna, you know, he and Byron, they got the offense handled, and all you got to do is, you know, be that overarching head coach leader type, and by the way, keep doing what you're doing on defense. So it's a great opportunity for Todd if Brady can stay healthy and stay at his level, which is always a caveat for me at 45 and counting. But it's exciting for Todd Bowles. You know, you wonder with Brady, you know, I know he has so much respect for Byron, and it looked like Byron was going to leave, you know, for a while to get that Jacksonville job. And you wonder if Byron had left, what would they be doing? And, you know, then you think of a guy like Bill O'Brien, who's sitting there in Alabama, who Brady has such a great relationship with and thinks so highly of. And I know Jason Light and Bill O'Brien go way, way back. So then you wonder if you could do it according to Brady's perfect specifications, would you somehow try to get Bill O'Brien over there to be part of what they're doing on offense?
Okay, one other thing I want to address, the Garoppolo situation, not much of a market. I said when I heard about the surgery, as a GM, I could not bring him in. Injury history, can't throw a football for four months. I couldn't, as a general manager, in good faith. If you're not going to be at OTAs or camp under my system, it's just not going to work. And I think Carolina thinks, listen, we're paying Darnold 18. This is too choppy. I think Carolina, by the way, is going to draft Willis.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to draft someone. I think Willis is the most likely. And contrary to the perception that he can't play right away, there is a sense that in that building that with his athleticism and ability to throw, that you can kind of fake it until you make it. And so I agree with all that.
Yeah. For the record, Josh Allen, Lamar, I remember them coming out. They're not ready. The element of surprise works wonders. Never forget. Yeah. Never forget. The Wildcat snapping to a running back worked for a year.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen and Lamar, like, seriously, like, one guy, you're like, he's the fastest, most elusive guy, like, you know, other than Michael Vick, like, ever back there. It's insane. How do we stop him? And then the other guy, it's like, he's really fast and, you know, runs really well. And by the way, he's a monster. It'd be like if, you know, he's fast Cam Newton, you know, but running all the time. It was crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think Malik Willis, I just think you've got to just look at athletes. Are they special looking? Draft them. You'll figure it out later. Just draft DK Metcalf.
Right.
Just get him in the building. We'll figure out. Yeah. We'll make it work.
It's the old guys who, you know, you can't project his position. Where are you going to put him? On the field. Like, he's going to be one of my 11 on offense or defense. We will, you know, it's like, that's my favorite is Minka Fitzpatrick, where the Dolphins were just like, we just don't know what position he is. And then the Steelers were like, cool, we'll trade a one for him. Oh, hey, look, his position is he's in our secondary and he's scoring a touchdown like every 5 minutes. I think there's a Mike Tomlin's like, there's probably a place for him in our 11.
Well, that was always the Honey Badger thing. Not fast enough for corner.
Yeah.
He was just always around the ball. Just get him on the field. You'll be better.
Yeah.
So I want to, the second thing I want to talk about is the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. I don't think there's much of a market. I made this argument. I'd rather have the $27 million now than a third round pick later. And I want Trey Lance to get every snap, every single snap. I'm interested. Do you think the Niners are being a little stubborn? Because, Mike, it was a second round pick. He won 33 games. Like, you got value out of him.
Here's the argument against, and it's a gamble. Why do you keep him? Here's why. Something could happen to Trey Lance, and not just an injury. They don't know for sure, right? Like, Trey Lance could go out there and all of a sudden look like Ryan Leaf. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, if he does, they've got a team still built to win now, paid to win now. Now what do you do? Nate Sudfeld? You know, I don't like it. And then the second scenario is, but it's the Sam Bradford situation when Teddy Bridgewater had the horrible injury right before the start of the season in Minnesota. Oh my God, what do we do? They called the Eagles. They traded a one for Sam Bradford. Carson Wentz became the starter. So if that other team's calamitous quarterback injury happens at a time when they're desperate and they don't really have a backup they think is going to Kurt Warner it back in 1999, then Jimmy has a lot of value. So I don't think it's just for the compensatory pick. That would be stupid. I'd rather have the $27 million. I think it's a hedge both against Trey somehow not being able to be what they think, or another team having a real need. And I do think in their mind, they're going to still move him. They would just rather gamble that there's going to be more value later in August or September when he's healthy, and maybe it's for a 2023 pick, but oh well.
You know what's great about this, Mike, is that these young GMs are all kind of now competing.
Yeah, they don't care.
They're competing against each other. And Les Snead is watching this guy, and that guy's watching this guy, and Telesco's watching that guy. And it's a little bit, it's like SEC football. It's a feeding frenzy. Oh.
Kyle Shanahan had told me last summer. He said, I made the trade up, which became Trey Lance, because I've been watching the Seahawks go get Jamal Adams. And I've been watching the Rams go get Jalen Ramsey and everybody and Stafford. And he's like, I'm sick. You know, it's the NFC West. Like, dude, I got to make my move. And so, yeah, you're right. And the other thing that's happened is that, you know, GMs used to have more time and coaches, right? So GMs are getting fired now after the first coaching hire, sometimes after a couple of years. So do you want to really do the, you know, wait and build through the draft. And you do, but what you really need to do is find a way to win some games quick.
Well, we've always thought it was a copycat league from on the field. But yeah. But I do think the relinquishing the first round pick to get a Jalen Ramsey or a Stafford, you know, sometimes, Mike, there are cultural changes. I mean, we look at now in baseball where people don't care about the strikeout. You look back in baseball, it's like the double play's the killer. The ground ball's the killer. Get it in the air. And now it's common sense. You know, we may look, I start to look at first round picks and I'm like, well, hell, if the hit rate's 60%, the hit rate to get Jalen's 100%, it could be just a math equation that, you know.
And if you're betting on yourself, you're like, our pick's going to be late because we're going to be good, right? You're betting on yourself being good. And, you know, yeah, I remember. So in the old days when I first started covering the NFL before free agency came in the labor agreement, when there was only basically the only way to sign another team's free agent, this is even before Plan B, which started around my time, was if a quarterback, say like a star quarterback's contract expired and you signed him as when his contract had expired, his current team had a right to match. And if they didn't match, you would have to surrender two first round draft picks. And I remember there was a quote from a GM. It might have been anonymous. I might be not attributing it, but some GM said, quote, I wouldn't trade two number ones for God. Really? I mean, because I covered God. His name was Joe Montana. And pretty sure he was worth two ones. And you're right. If you look at the hit rate, and so part of this is the whole draft overhype, and we're in it now. And it's going to, you know, you think everything is so transformative. And then how many times does a team win? And you're like, wait, who did they draft to get in the first? Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's amazing. Like, you draft Russell Wilson in the third round and it changes your whole franchise. But sometimes you draft, you know, I don't know, Vernon Golston or no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was a bust.
Yeah, the guy on the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jets drafted Vernon Golston really high. And people were like, that's going to be the difference for the Jets. Two things happened. One, they went to consecutive conference championship games under Rex Ryan. Two, Vernon Golston had zero to do with it and was terrible. So, I'm with you. And it is a copycat league. And since I've been espousing the go for broke approach, usually in relation to teams like the Packers who sit on their hands, I'm glad that it's working. And I would concede that it doesn't always work. Two words, dream team for you Eagles fans or people who remember. And I was all about the dream team. I'm like, they're gonna win it all. And it was not great, but I would rather see people have a philosophy and get after it than their philosophy be, I only care about draft picks and development.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you know, I've talked to Kevin Demoff, the Rams COO, a lot about this. And he's like, we believe in our culture and our coaches as development people. So they believe that their staff will get the most out of their third and fourth round picks they're getting as compensatory picks. And so that's another part of their equation. They think they can get value later in the draft and not freak out about trading ones and twos.
Yeah, and as you noted earlier, if you really think you're good, a late first round pick is sort of no man's land. There's a lot. I mean, you go back in the last 20 years, it's like a second round NBA pick. You're like, yeah, there's some stars, but yeah, there's a few Lamar Jacksons, but
yeah. Call any GM or decision maker in the last 10 years on draft day who has a pick between 22 and 32 and ask him, hey, what are you guys doing? And he will try to trade down before you can get the sentence out. He'll be like, hey, you want to come up? You know, like, what are you going to do? We want to trade down. And dude, everyone wants to trade out of 22 to 32, you know, with some exceptions. The Packers traded up for Jordan Love too soon. But yeah, usually it's people trying to get out. And, you know, contractually, Sometimes it's better to be an early second round pick as the player, because then you can get out of your crappy, artificially held down rookie wage scale deal under more favorable terms earlier.
Yeah, I was told by an NFC scouting director several years ago, from the 18th or 19th pick of the first round to the 5th to 6th pick of the third round is the same player.
Right.
It's the same player.
It depends on the draft, but yeah, that's often the case. And sometimes drafts are even less top heavy. I mean, I can think, and this may be one of them, but I can think of drafts where people were like, you know, people picking at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 were desperately trying to get out and get down, because they didn't think, you know, they thought there were 5 or 6 guys and then it really leveled off. So, you know, it's I agree that teams are being more aggressive. For the 49ers and Browns, it is frustrating because nobody is now jumping to take Baker and or Jimmy. But I think, you know, one injury to one really important starter who doesn't have an obvious replacement changes that whole equation.
Mike Silver, NFL Stuff Forever. Great seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
The Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.